You're listening to Turkish Football Weekly, available on the World Football Daily Club podcast feed. If you're a member of World Football Daily, you can go to the site and stream the show anytime to your computer, mobile phone, or tablet without having to download or sync anything. If you're not a member of World Football Daily, just search World Football Daily Club podcast in the iTunes store and download the World Football Daily Club podcast feed for free. Enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turkish Football Weekly for the week of July 25th, 2013. My name is Atsa Dizdar, and joining me once again is Jeremy Chapman. Jeremy, how are things with you?
Things are going okay with me. Thanks, Atta. I'm still in Indiana for the moment, but always making plans to visit more interesting places. We've got the actually got tryouts going on for our new North American Soccer League team this week, so that's been kind of exciting to get the news from. Hopefully have a team together soon. How are things going with you?
Well, if we want to keep it local American soccer, DC United just got their new stadium announced. They'll be building it up at Buzzards Point. Haven't really read much into detail about that, even though the team pretty much is terrible this season in MLS. But let's move on to Turkish football. We've got some games to talk about, or at least some matchups we're going to be talking about. But first, the Europa League second qualifying round, the second leg between Derry City of Ireland and Trabzonspor. And Trabzonspor beating Derry City 3-0, thereby winning the aggregate 7-2. Paulo Henrique with two goals in the 56th and 82nd minute, and Abdulkadir Özdemir scoring in the first minute of stoppage time in the second half. Summing up the goals for Trabzonspor there, and from the first half, I mean, I didn't get an opportunity to watch this game, but it seemed as though the first half was more of a cure for insomnia, and the second half was a little more explosive from Trabzonspor. But Trabzonspor, if we were to sum up this, they move on. Thank you, Derry City, for playing, and Trabzonspor will now move on to face Dinamo Minsk of Belarus, who beat Lokomotiva Zagreb of Croatia in their tie in the third qualifying round. And let me get your thoughts on the game.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it wasn't really a surprise if anybody saw the first leg, even though the score line showed 4-2 for Trabzonspor with a, you know, not the most decisive of victories. You know, the Derry City goals were very flukish that first leg, and you just kind of felt that Trabzonspor would be able to handle them on the road, which they did very well. So I wasn't also surprised by the result. I think going into a second leg up a couple of goals anyway, I'm not really surprised that they didn't do anything the first half either. It just seemed like a fairly textbook and solid performance of Trabzonspor. So good for them. I mean, now of course they're gonna have to play Dynamo Minsk, not to be confused with FC Minsk, right? There are two big teams in the Belarusian capital there. But I think, you know, with all due respect to Derry City, I mean, we sort of expect Trabzonspor to make it through easily enough. I think Minsk will be a little bit more of a challenge, but at least Trabzonspor won't be the only Turkish club in the third round of qualifying competition, I guess. So it's these early stages of the Europa League and the Champions League even are kind of slow going, as you're just trying to weed out some of the smaller clubs. But I'm hoping for similar success for Turkish clubs as last European season, which was very good. So it's a good start. What can I say?
All right, so let's move on to the European matchups in the third qualifying round. We'll start off with the Europa League. As I said earlier, Trabzonspor will face Dinamo Minsk of Belarus. As I mentioned earlier, they beat Lokomotiva Zagreb of Croatia. Bursaspor found out who they're playing. They'll be playing Vojvodina of Serbia. They beat Honved of Hungary to advance to face Bursaspor. And in the UEFA Champions League third qualifying round, like we said last week, Fenerbahce, pending the decision of CAS that will be made in late August, they are back in the UEFA Champions League. In the third qualifying round, they found out they will be facing Red Bull Salzburg. That matchup will be played on July 31st and August 6th. and for the Europa League third qualifying round. Those will be played August 1st and August 8th. So some good matchups here. Red Bull Salzburg is a pretty decent team, and it seems as though, to me, Fenerbahce has the little more tougher test. I think Red Bull Salzburg is a pretty decent team, but it looks like more or less like the Turkish teams, if we're going at it from our point of view, they shouldn't be able to have that much trouble. I mean, for these matchups, I think perhaps the Turkish teams do have a shot here.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, certainly Red Bull will be a challenge for Fenerbahce. They were the top scorers in the Austrian league last season, so there's that to contend with. But I mean, Fenerbahce are, you know, they've been pretty strong of late. So I think it's just a matter of comparing the leagues more so than the teams in that case. But even in the worst case, if Fenerbahce lost out, then they would go join our friends Bursaspor and Trabzonspor in the assuming they made it through in the playoff round of the Europa League. So this is sort of that last stage where the Champions League teams can sort of get dropped down to the Europa League, and then after that it's just once they're gone. So hopefully Fenerbahce can power through a Red Bull. It'll be at least good to see them play again. So I think that'll be kind of exciting. But yeah, I think expectations are definitely high for us, or not unreasonable, but still high, about, you know, all three of these teams making it through, to the respective playoff rounds.
Right, and you also forgot to mention Beşiktaş will also be in the Europa League playoff round, and, you know, hopefully everything works out well for the Turkish teams there. But let's talk about some news. There was one major transfer that really made the news. Otherwise, it was really just more of a slow week. Really, we're just getting prepared for the season. You know, the Turkish Super Cup is coming up in a few weeks. You know, I kind of consider that a preseason anti-climax. It's just really more of an overblown friendly. But some news going around Turkish football now. Gençler Birliği chairman İlhan Çavçav has been elected the new chairman of the Turkish Football Clubs Union. Bogdan Stanku has agreed to join Gençler Birliği pending a medical. The Romanian forward previously played for Orduspor last season. Gençler Birliği have signed Ivorian midfielder Jean-Jacques Gosso. The midfielder had previously played for Orduspor and Mersin İdman Yurdu in the Turkish League. Antalyaspor have signed midfielder Timur Bayram Özgöz. The German player played with Ankara Gücü the last 2 years. Galatasaray have loaned off midfielder Furkan Özçal to Karabükspor. The loan fee is 250,000 Turkish lira. Karabükspor have elected Mustafa Yolbulan as their new club chairman. Yolbulan is on the board of directors of the Karabük Iron and Steel Works Company, who is the parent sponsor of the club. Karabükspor have released midfielder Sahil Jahic from his contract. The Bosnian signed a 2.5-year contract with the club back in January of 2012. Gaziantepspor have signed goalkeeper Serdar Kürbüge to a 1-year deal. The 33-year-old previously played for Bursaspor, Fenerbahçe, Kocaelispor, and Gençler Birliği. Kayseri Erciyesspor have signed Trabzonspor right winger Yasin Öztekin for around 400,000 euros. He made 29 appearances for Trabzonspor last season, scoring 4 goals. Trabzonspor have announced that they have terminated the contract of defender Marek Cech. He was originally signed by the club back in August of 2011. Beşiktaş, to transfer news from them, they have transferred Gaziantepspor right back Serdar Kurtuluş for 4.43 million Turkish lira. Kurtuluş, who had previously played for Beşiktaş between 2006 and 2009, signs a contract paying him 2.7 million euros over 3 years, with a 10,000 euro match bonus. And the big transfer of the week that was talked about, Beşiktaş have transferred goalkeeper Tolga Zengin from Trabzonspor for 2.75 million euros. The 29-year-old signs a contract that will see him get paid 1.3 million euros a year with a 10,000 euro match bonus. Zengin had reportedly asked to be transferred to be close to his mother, who is receiving cancer treatment in Istanbul. So I think the one transfer I did want to speak about is Tolga Zengin. You know, I don't believe he's a bad goalkeeper at all, but, you know, I was kind of thinking on my Twitter account, I had made this clear that I thought Sinan Bulut might have been a much better option for Beşiktaş. Well, because one, he's a free agent at the moment, so there would be no transfer fee involved. But I've been hearing from a couple of Beşiktaş fans that maybe Sinan Bulut was asking for a little bit too much in terms of a contract that Beşiktaş might not have been able to afford, like maybe a signing bonus or things like that. I can't really remember exactly what the deal was, but Comparing Bulat and Zengin, I kind of believe Bulat to be a much more complete goalkeeper, and I believe he's a little bit younger than Zengin. But considering that Alan McGregor got sold off to Hull City for Beşiktaş, obviously it seems as though that Beşiktaş doesn't really trust Cenk Günen to be their number one goalkeeper, so they got a solid goalkeeper in Tolga Zengin here. I'm just wondering, is he the right choice? Because there are other goalkeepers out there who probably would have been available for free, like Bulat, but we also have to consider the foreigner cap here. So obviously with Zengin's transfer, you know, I would have probably considered Bulat as well, but that might also have been something that Beşiktaş was thinking about when they signed Zengin. So I guess, will Beşiktaş get their money's worth with Zengin remains to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, you made some good points there, right? Like, you know, Tolga Zengin's about 5 years older than Sinan Bulat, but he's also comes with that kind of experience. We've sort of known Trabzonspor to, well, lately anyway, be pumping out, you know, pretty decent goalkeepers. You know, I guess they're keeping Onur Kvarak. So, I mean, I don't think Tolga Zengin's bad. I don't think it's a bad move at all. I mean, he's a great keeper and could serve Beşiktaş very well. But, you know, you raised some good points. I think probably that foreigner cap, you know, is definitely a factor there. But of course, we don't really know for sure sort of what the logic was behind the scenes. You know, maybe Sinan Bulat was asking too much or something. I mean, some combination of all those things, certainly. But I think it's sort of an exciting transfer, I think, for Beşiktaş. I mean, you know, fans of Turkish football have seen plenty of Tolga Zengin over the last several years. So he'll be fun to watch playing in Istanbul. And he wants to be in Istanbul. I think that says something too.
Right, because reportedly his mother's undergoing treatment for cancer, and obviously he wants to be with his mom. So that's always a good humanitarian thing to do, and it's a loving son, I guess.
Yeah, it's a very cute story. I'm sure it'll move a lot of fans.
Well, we're pretty much going to really wrap it up for this short edition of the podcast with this. You know, last week we had mentioned something about women's football in Turkey, and we had mentioned that Konak Belediyesi were the women's champions. They're actually going to be in the UEFA Women's Champions League. The team is actually based in Konak Izmir, so at least Izmir has one champion in football to celebrate, I guess. They have been entered into the qualifying round. They've been drawn into Group 1. All of these matches will be held in Sarajevo. And the Women's Champions League will be starting on August 8th for Konak Belediyesi. They will face NSA Sofia first on August 8th. Then they will face Bosnia's SFK 2000 on August 10th. And they will wrap up the quasi-group stage play against Cardiff City of Wales on August 12th. So usually we're kind of like the ones, we've done this kind of annually ever since the podcast was established, maybe not back in 2010, but certainly from 2011 onward, that we have been covering at least some of the Women's Champions League in terms of Turkish teams. You know, we've covered the paths of Ataşehir Belediyespor, and They did pretty well. I mean, they won a group stage match last year, this little quasi-group stage match, a little qualifying round. But, you know, obviously there's not really much in terms of women's football in Turkey, but I think, you know, we just want to send a little bit of a shout-out and a good luck to Konak Belediyesi in their little pathway. But I really doubt that they will probably advance to the knockout rounds, though.
Yeah, I mean, to that I would say that Konak Belediyesi is actually looking really good. So the women in the Turkish women's league, they play an 18-week season, but nonetheless, Konak Belediyesi this past season, obviously they were the champions, but I mean they completely dominated the league. They won 17 of their 18 matches. So you know, and of course Ataşehir Belediyesi, your friends you just mentioned from last year's competition, finished second place with 14 wins, but for Turkish football's sake, Konak Belediye is really the team, without a doubt, to represent the country, and not impossible that they could make it, you know, past the group stages. There are right now 8 groups, so it's lots of teams left, but I would love to see them advance a little further, and maybe, you know, maybe this season, you know, we'll report on them a couple of times throughout the year just to see sort of, you know, if one of these teams is kind of dominating that league again, to see if we see them next year. But I think it's sort of fun. I think it's kind of fun to follow the women's football bit in Turkey. I mean, just to kind of keep your eye out for them and see how they do, because I think they could surprise us. I mean, you know, just looking just based entirely on what Konak Belediye has done in the regular season this year, they're definitely Turkey's top talent going into this Champions League.
Yep. So I think that's going to do it for this very truncated version of Turkish Football Weekly. There really wasn't much to talk about here, but, you know, next week we'll have some results of some matches, and who knows what will be on the horizon for Turkish football. But, Jeremy, I do want to thank you again for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it, as always.
And we thank you for listening to Turkish Football Weekly this week, and we will see you all next time.